about the clouds and we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Some trails are happy ones,
others are blue.
It's the way
Rogers and Dale Arden. Happy trails to you. Boy, brings back memories to me. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, June the 26th. We are rolling along. In a few minutes, Scott Brennan, who is the head of online expression policy at North Carolina University, is going to be with us. We are going to talk about protecting children online and online security. You know, are you an adult or are you not an adult when you enter certain websites? So stay tuned for that. And, hey, what's going on in Russia with that so-called revolt of mercenary troops? Is it for real? And is Putin in a heap of trouble right now? We're going to take a look at it. Also, the chairman of the House committee looking into Hunter Biden says he is adamantly opposed to a special prosecutor. What? We are going to tell you why, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, with all the turbulence going on in buying and selling homes, we are going to give you right now the top 10 best real estate markets in the United States. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, guys. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Call for your appointment. Great price, great haircut. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal, or stump grinding, you'll get a great price from ArborLife, Tampa Bay's premier tree service company, 727-330-1999. All right. So, all of a sudden, we got this oligarch that runs a mercenary group of soldiers in Russia that had decided to turn the guys around, turn his contingent around, and march on Moscow, because he didn't like the way things were going. And I was listening with a lot of, astonishment to what was going on. They had one so-called expert come on, a woman. She claimed the whole thing was a trick. It was smoke and mirrors. It wasn't really... It was planned. It was a Machiavellian trick. Anyway, on Saturday, the Wagner troops swept into a city in Russia of more than 1 million people. What's it called? Rostov on Don, and seized the military headquarters there, and they were deciding that they were going to go and march on Moscow. What? So all of a sudden, the whole thing is put down in a conversation. The head guy at Belarus, I think it was, gets on the line with Putin and with this guy that runs the mercenary group, and works out some sort of a deal so that now the guy that runs the mercenary group is going to be, what's the word? when they send you off to another place forever. Exiled, I think that's it. He's going to be exiled to Belarus, and the troops are going to be all right, supposedly. We'll see about all of that and where it's really going. But this is bringing into question Putin's authority and how much longer he can remain. Now, you know, he's been, what is he? He's been either the premier or the president of Russia for, what, the last 20 years? It's hard to remember when he wasn't the head guy. But, you know, he's in his 70s now, and they're going to make a change sooner or later, one way or the other. In the meantime, China is maintaining so-called support for Putin, despite this attempt by the Wagner Group. They supposedly made some announcements saying that they support Russia in maintaining its national stability, and that the recent escalation in tensions in Russia was Russia's internal affairs. It's always internal affairs whenever you question what's going on in a country like Russia or China. Well, that's our internal affairs, which is a way of saying it's none of your damn business what we're doing. Also, the Russian defense minister was in the middle of all of this. Apparently, the guy, let me get the guy's name here that was the head of the Wagner Group. His name is Yevgeny Prigozhin. He's a very rich oligarch that was also a caterer for the food that the Politburo was eating. He was the guy that was providing the food for Putin. If I was Putin these days, I don't think I'd be taking any more of his food. So the Russian defense minister apparently was screwing things up as far as this guy that was the head of the Wagner Group was concerned. His name is Sergei, I guess it's Shulgin, and he's made his first public appearance today since all of this mess started. So I guess it's a sign that Putin wants to show that we're not going to change anything no matter what you're hearing. Anyway, it's kind of interesting to see how all of that is going. Now the Las Vegas odds on how long this guy from the Wagner Group remains being unpoisoned or falling out of a window. So I don't know about you, Ed. I'll take the under on that one, because I think unless the whole thing was planned by the two of them, and that's the Machiavellian thing where they actually get along fine, but they wanted to show everybody that Putin can control any kind of a problem that might go on. So let's do this, you know, and then we'll exile you here, but we're not going to really exile you, and you'll be fine. I don't know.
Wouldn't you have better odds for working with the Clintons than Putin?
You mean surviving?
Yeah.
Better odds surviving with the Clintons if you turned on them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I'm not sure which one would be a better chance for you. So turning on Putin or turning on Hillary and Bill? Okay. Hey, that's a very... I'd have to give that one a lot of thought. Okay, let's do this. Let us take our break. When we come back, Scott Brennan from the online expression policy at North Carolina University is going to be with us. We're going to talk about keeping kids safe on the internet.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We thank you so very much for being with us, and we're delighted to have Scott Brennan join us. He is the head of online expression policy at the Center on Technology Policy at North Carolina University, and we're going to talk with him about keeping kids safe online and how should policymakers approach age verification. Welcome, Scott, to FreedomWorks.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to chat.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I mean, this is the ongoing question, of course. Keeping kids from, viewing certain things or being involved in certain websites or whatever, I guess you have to figure out a way, if there is a way, of knowing who it is that's, getting into a particular website or a program. And keeping them safe, I guess, from the clutches of people that might not do them good. So tell us a little bit about this whole program. I guess it involves a report from the Center for Growth and Opportunity on, like, age verification policy or what?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so last week, we at the Center on Technology Policy at UNC Chapel Hill published a new report in cooperation with the CGO, the Center on Growth and Opportunity at Utah State. And I guess you're exactly right. Like, the problem is, right, how do we protect kids online? The challenge with that is, how do you know who is a kid online, right? If you want to keep kids safe online, you have to know who is a kid, right, who is a child. And, as you kind of alluded to, right, protecting children online has become, one of the most important issues in tech policy this year. We've seen dozens of bills introduced and passed at the state level in places like Utah, Arkansas, Louisiana, California, and also probably several bills have been introduced and debated at the federal level as well. The issue, though, right, of trying to determine who is a kid online is that there's no real easy solution. There's no silver bullet, right, to solve this problem. Any way that you choose to identify who is a kid online comes with a cost. And so in the paper, we identify sort of 10 different distinct trade-offs that policymakers and platforms need to consider and to balance when they're trying to determine how to actually do this, how to actually determine the age of kids online. Things like, the accuracy of the tools that you're using, but also, the privacy of your users. So, basically, if you want to be more certain who is a child, using your platform, you have to collect more data, very sensitive data. And that is going to raise kind of serious concerns about user privacy. And so, given these different trade-offs, we in the paper offer a series of policy ideas or solutions for U.S. regulators, right, who are looking to pass new laws in this area for how they can improve like the state of AFH assurance. And I'm happy to sort of go more into our recommendations.
Yeah. Well, a couple of questions come to mind. First of all, we've had parental controls on computers, but of course, kids are getting their own iPhones and running around all over the, you know, all over town. So it's no longer like being able to control them on a computer in the house because they're running around with a computer in their hands in the car and everywhere else. So I guess the parental controls device is something that isn't quite able to take care of, you know, the ever expanding ability to use the internet. The other thing though is how much of the government involvement do we really want into this area? Because boy, every time you get the federal government involved, it comes usually at a tremendous cost.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, the report does not get into the sort of big question of do we want the government to be leading on age assurance versus platforms versus parents. The truth is, though, that the government is involved. Right. You know, as I said, we're seeing all of these new bills at both the state and the federal level, about child safety. And very simply, you cannot do that without doing age assurance or age verification, right? Like, platforms have to know who's a child if they want to do anything to protect children. And so, you know, aside from the big sort of, you know, philosophical, political question about should the government be involved, the government is involved. And the purpose of the report is to say, okay, if the government is getting involved, how should they be involved? What is a sort of more positive or more productive role that the government can play in this space? And for us, it's knowing that there are these different trade-offs and there are no perfect solutions to age verification. I do think that there is a really valuable role that the government can play here. And it's basically helping platforms do a better job of understanding and balancing those trade-offs. And so, you know, our recommendations are grouped into three kind of big categories, and they are balance. So things to basically help platforms do that work of balancing those trade-offs. Specificity, just being very clear about what requirements exist for platforms. And then finally, understanding. And there's some real work that I think the government can do here about securing better information or better data to help us really understand what are the true costs and benefits of different age verification approaches.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Scott Brennan, and we're talking about how to keep kids, I guess, from visiting certain websites that may be not in their best interests, at least as far as society is concerned. He is the head of online expression policy at the Center on Technology Policy at North Carolina University. I'm thinking, as you're talking about, when I was growing up, and of course, we didn't have computers when I was growing up, but we did have the movie theater, and we had a code that was usually set by the people in Hollywood themselves as to what movies were considered viewable for children, adolescents, and for adults. And if you were under a certain age, there were certain movies that you were just not able to get in to see. And generally speaking, if the government itself was not directly involved in this, and generally speaking, it seemed to work. As time went by, standards got, whatever you want to say, more risque, and all of a sudden, it's like you've got everything going on and very little code enforcement anymore when it comes to movies, etc. So I'm just thinking about getting the government involved in this internet situation, and you got 50 different states. I mean, are you going to regulate federally, by state, combination? How does that work?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good questions there. So I guess I'll start first on what you've mentioned a couple times, which is the harms that we're actually trying to protect children from. I think this is actually a really important point. It's not only about, you know, ensuring that kids don't access adult, you know, content, pornography online. It's also making sure that kids aren't exposed to, you know, predators mm-hmm. you know, engaging in risky or dangerous behavior or entering into bad contracts. So that there's a common sort of shorthand that people use in this space is like the four C's of online harms. It's content, contact, conduct, and contract. So there are a lot of different harms here. And of course, sort of underlying that too, is concerns about mental health as well. There's a lot of concern that use of social media platforms by some children in some cases may lead to negative mental health outcomes in some cases. But I think your question about, like, should it be the state or the federal government, or is it the state or the federal government? Again, like, I'm going to sort of sidestep the sort of normative question there about, like, who should be regulating this. Point out that it's both who are actively doing so. You know, there's a lot of discussion happening in the, you know, about protecting kids online at the federal level. There's been a number of bills introduced and discussed, but nothing is happening, right? Like, nothing has actually been passed. The states, however, have really stepped in here and are actually passing new legislation. Now, you're absolutely right that this raises a lot of concerns about creating a sort of like patchwork of having different laws in different states. And absolutely, I think that there is certainly reason to be concerned that creates a real difficult environment for platforms or for companies to sort of operate in, that they have to have different policies or different rules for different states, for consumers to know just like what they're allowed to do in different states. I will say, though, that I do think that there is also, and this is something that we talked about in the report, that there might be, aside from if this is the situation that we would prefer, there is sort of an opportunity here at least to, and so we call for the federal government to fund a study, basically, comparing different approaches, you know, now being adopted by states, so we can sort of think about these different sort of approaches as an opportunity for experimentation. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just don't see how it's going to be so hard to police the internet. I just can't see how the states individually are going to be able to do it. People, driving cars across state lines and their computers and their hands and everything else. I don't know how that's going to work. It would seem to me it'll always comes back to education of the children, so that they themselves are inculcated with information that keeps them alert. They have to kind of keep themselves alert. And with parents that are taking some sort of an interest in the safety of their children is part of it. But it's, you know, it's like you'll finally have to hand the keys to the kid to get into the car, and he's going to drive out there on traffic all by himself. You can't protect him. You can only educate him, and you can prepare him. And I just wonder if you're going to get much further than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good question about the difficulty of states enforcing particular rules that they have, and it is a challenge, right? We've seen this past year Montana banned TikTok. We don't know how that's going to actually work out, how that's actually going to be enforced. And I think a lot of these bills, even the ones that have passed in the state level, there's a lot of uncertainties about how they'll work. And in fact, Louisiana, I think last year passed a new ID requirement to view adult content online, pornographic content online. And there's still, I think there's been some questions about how that's being enforced. But also we've seen, some reports that VPN, virtual private network, usage has really increased. So basically there are tools that people in a given state can use to basically make it look like their internet usage is coming from another place. And so it's very easy to get around state level restrictions. for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that we want to protect children. No, no question at all. It's just, it seems so difficult because, I guess, because of the availability. It's not like a television, and you know, inside of a house where there's a controlled environment, and there might be parents there or whatever. You know, this is, as I say, it's almost like driving the car. You know, once you release the child and give him the computer and he's off with it, it's almost like you got to train the kid before he gets his hands on this. You got to prepare him because once you're out there, no matter, you know, your best intentions, it's just going to be very, very, very hard to, you know, keep the kid totally safe.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I think there's, you know, I think a lot of people recognize that, you know, better, you know, media literacy training is really important, and it needs to be a component in this work. I think, though, the analogy of the car is interesting. You know, we do require certain safety mechanisms mm-hmm. in a car, seatbelts, for example, and minimum safety standards. And so I think, you know, obviously that analogy, you know, it's different to be in a car and to be online, but we accept that there needs to be some limits and some protections
right.
in place, you know, so.
Yeah, no question. You know. Yeah, no question at all. We've got to kind of, you know, we've got to figure out something to at least make it a little bit safer for them. Anyway, very interesting, Scott. Thank you so very much for being with us. Keep up the good fight on that, and maybe we'll talk again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been really fun.
Yeah, our pleasure. All right. Scott Brennan. Okay. Going to take our break. When we come back, the chairman of the House Committee looking into our buddy Hunter Biden says he is absolutely adamantly against naming a special prosecutor. And we're going to tell you why.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank you so very, very much for being with us today. So, guess who President Biden took with him on his Camp David weekend? He took young son Hunter with him. The White House received some backlash after it was found out that Hunter accompanied Joe to Camp David amid all of the whistleblower allegations going on. And political corruption with all of these different countries. And the House Ways and Means Committee revealed last week that a whistleblower has come forth and had a WhatsApp text message, I guess it was, that Hunter Biden apparently was on. Boy, this guy, Hunter Biden, he sure has been busy. But somehow it sounded like he was extorting some Chinese guy for a bunch of money. And he said he had Pop next to him. And this guy better move pretty quickly on this. Gosh, I don't know what's going on here. But here's what apparently what the text message said. I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. And Z, that's the guy that he was talking to, the guy's name is Henry Zhao, Z-H-A-O. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows, and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. Gee, that sounds like you talking to me just before the show, Ed. So, I mean, I thought President Biden told us that he knows nothing about anything when it comes to what his son's been doing. Was he sitting next to him accidentally? And if so, did he have earplugs in his ears or what?
I'd split it and say maybe half of it's true.
Okay.
Because he was on drugs. And he kept not using his name. You know, the big guy or, you know, whatever.
In other words, when he was talking to this guy, he probably didn't have his father next to him. I would say you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Angelo, our eye in the northern sky, with us. He comes with us to us every Monday, usually. And I know that he's been following all of this with a great deal of heartburn. How are you, Angelo?
Oh, doing very good. A little bit of heartburn hearing all this stuff.
I'm sure. So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Russia, Putin? You want to talk about Hunter Biden? You want to talk about what's going on in New York? You want to talk about COVID? You want to talk about the Wuhan lab? You want to talk about sports? You want to talk?
A lot of stuff going on in the world today, huh?
Yes, we do.
Whatever you want to talk about, we could. New York State, Rochester now just started guaranteed income, $500 a month.
Really? Okay, yep. Now you live in Rochester, New York, which is upstate New York, and they're going to give you $500 a month. Are you going to get it?
No, no way. Not me.
No? Okay, how does it work?
Well, I guess you have to be in a certain medium for income, you know, depending, you know, at a poverty level or whatever it
is.
And you had to sign up for it, and you have to meet certain requirements.
And
you're going to get $500 a month, guaranteed.
Guaranteed $500. How long do you get it for?
I guess you get it forever. The way the Democrats are doing here in New York
State. So they passed this legislation for the city.
For the city, right.
Okay.
And then there's also some kind of legislation going on where they're going to do something with the state, you know, a commission for reparations, a commission for this and that.
But this $500 you're talking about had nothing to do with race. It's income level?
It's income level, yeah.
Okay. And I know about the reparations thing, of course, not only in California, but there in New York, they're talking about some way figuring out reparation payments to African Americans, which is never going to work, by the way, because I guarantee you, if they even tried something like, even if they had the money, which they don't, to pay reparations, you know what would happen? All kinds of people would never get any, and they would say that they deserved it, and it would be hard to figure out who should get it and who should not.
Right.
It would become it's a complete fiasco, and it's just a way of keeping, what do you want to say?
They want to keep buying votes.
They want to keep buying votes. They want to keep, yeah, that's it. They want to keep black people supporting The Democratic Party. And so we'll wave this in front of you, and you'll think that we're really trying to get reparations when we're really not trying to get reparations. We just want to wave it in front of you.
Right. They're just wagging the tail over there, you know?
Yep.
Wagging the dog to try and buy votes. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people will get $500 per month there in Rochester that don't deserve it. As in, they'll dummy up what they really make or something.
Right, like they did with the COVID funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll do the same thing.
Yeah. So, have you thought... Go ahead.
What's that?
No, go ahead. What's your question?
What's happening in Russia these days?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you. It sounds like this guy that... Well, first of all, this... And I mentioned his name before, and it's hard to remember his name, but... Anyway, the guy is an oligarch that has been running a catering company, which apparently feeds a lot of the Politburo people, including Putin, and has been friendly. And, you know, anyway, he also happens to have a group of mercenaries. These are troops that are paid and are on their own, and they are hired. And they've been involved in the Ukraine war. Apparently, they're more effective than the regular government troops. They're more disciplined. They're better fighters and everything else. And this guy, the oligarch who runs them, it's called the Wagner Group, all of a sudden got upset with the way the war was going and apparently wanted, you know, he was taking out his frustrations on the government.
Huh. And then he stops cold in his tracks.
Apparently, then he got religion when the leader of Belarus or something became involved in the discussions with Putin and him and agreed not to... He had turned his troops around. They were actually going to march on Moscow.
Right, yeah.
That would have been something to watch.
It would have been like the old days when the Nazis tried to go into Moscow, right?
No, these are Russian troops doing it.
Yeah,
your own troops are turning on you.
Yeah, civil war.
It's like a civil war, and then all of a sudden, somebody said, "Hey, wait a second. First of all, there's no way you're going to win that one." And you know, sometimes you grow bigger than your britches. It sounds like this guy started thinking, you know, he was something more than he really was. So the question now is. Is this for real, or was it just a setup? You know. And B, if it was real, how much longer is this guy going to be around?
Be alive.
Yeah, before he falls out a window.
Right. And, you know, they said. I remember reading and listening that Putin's been in power for 20 some odd years now over there.
That's right. He's been either the premier or the president. Yeah, a prime minister or the president. It makes no difference. He's running things. He's been running things. But he's in his 70s now. And at some point, they're going to ease him out one way or the other.
I'm surprised they haven't taken him out already.
Yeah, well, and that's another discussion, whether or not he's got to look over his shoulder a little bit more than usual now, you know?
I mean, like, he's leveling Ukraine. I mean, you see the pictures on the news and stuff like that. I mean, he's totally leveling the whole place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and those people. But you know what? I'm surprised that nobody in Europe is doing anything except the United States. All we hear is billions of dollars going to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
There's not
a lot of involvement by the other country. Well, they just figure the United States has got the money and the weapons, I guess. And this way, they don't get blamed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were one of those NATO countries and you saw one of them doing all of that, wouldn't you kind of sit back and say, well, you know, let him do it?
Yeah, they did the same thing in World War II, before World War II, when Hitler was gobbling up countries, right?
Yeah. Well, they were sitting back and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden Hitler had two or three countries he took over before England finally declared war, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, everybody just sat back and let it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Then they go, oh, my God, he's taking over the world. Well, by then it's too late. Then they ended up with a war, right?
Right.
A devastating war that took millions of lives.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then the poor Jewish people there, he was, and not just the Jewish people, he was slaughtering millions in the gas chambers and everything.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was horrible. You know, we and this raises the big question of, you know, the United States did not want to enter World War II. They had just, they still had, the adults had memories of World War One.
Right.
They didn't want to go through that again. Could you blame them?
No.
And they had an ocean that separated them from all of the trouble. So they were saying, no, we're not going to get involved in this. It took, you know, as you know, it took the bombing of our territory in Hawaii by the Japs to get us into the war.
Yeah.
And by then, we had thousands of American troops that were killed and all of our battleships that were destroyed.
Yep. And then came the island hopping, and then came the D-Day invasion.
Yep. Well,
unbelievable.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that brief history of war.
I love history. You can see what's happening in the world today just by, you know, things don't change. The only thing that changes are the players. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The only thing that changes are the players.
And the old saying that those who forget their history are doomed to repeat it.
That's right. I mean, you got China today that's waiting in the wings to take over Taiwan. You got Iran that's rattling sabers all the time, you know?
Yep, certainly do. Well, I appreciate all of that with you, my friend. It's good to hear your voice. Let me know if you figure out a way of getting that $500 a month into your coffers.
I'm going to try. Well, hey, if Hunter Biden can get away with it, why can't I?
There you go. Get a piece of the action. I do. Well, thank you, Angelo.
Quite welcome.
All right, my
Have
friend.
A good week.
And the same to you.
Take care.
All right. Angelo Ceresi. Where's mine? Isn't that the American way? Where's mine? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Okay. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to give you the top 10 best real estate markets this year in the United States.
Same old place, sweet home, Chicago.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3700. 3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back with the final segment of Freedom Works here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Tantalk. And we are so delighted when you find time to listen to us. But if you're not available between 10 and 11 on some of these days, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to our show at your leisure, because he puts all our shows on podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and look up at the top, click on the podcast button. You'll get to a site that shows you a list of the shows from the very most recent at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the top 10 is. And away you go. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said that he strongly opposes the appointment of a special counsel in the federal probe into Hunter Biden, saying Americans should not trust Attorney General Merrick Garland to appoint somebody that would be completely independent. Now, here's my... I've been talking about this for a while. We have. I wouldn't mind seeing an independent prosecutor. That is not a special prosecutor, but a prosecutor independent of the Attorney General and free to go about indicting and doing all of the things that he feels are important. The trick is, of course, how long that would take and whether or not he would be totally unbiased in his efforts. But anyway, the House Ways and Means Committee released testimony, as we had talked about, on two IRS whistleblowers who said officials at the Justice Department, the FBI, and the IRS interfered into the investigation into Hunter Biden, and saying that politics was playing a huge, huge role. Comer is saying, we don't want a special investigator. He stressed the importance of keeping the investigation out of the hands of a Biden administration-appointed special counsel and in the hands of his committee. Here's a quote from him. The House Oversight Committee has found and shared with the public in 5 months what the Justice Department and the FBI have kept secret for 5 years. So I think we're moving right along. I strongly oppose the appointment of a special counsel. I think that's the most ridiculous idea that any Republican could think right now, because if you support a special counsel, you support and you trust Merrick Garland to have the sole authority to pick one person who can then take over the investigation and never have to be transparent with the media or Congress until the conclusion of the investigation, which might take years. So there you go. I think he might be making a good case. All right. Before we get to our top 10, and it's a good one here, Ed, I was going to ask you if there's any over the weekend sports information that we need to talk about.
No, actually, we're a month away from Bucks training camp to open.
Oh, so. Are we?
The Rays.
Rays, how are they doing?
The Rays had a 4-game series against statistically the worst team in baseball. In the Kansas City Royals, and you could either say they won 2 out of 4, or they lost 2 out of 4.
Okay, they split. Uh-huh. Are they still they're still the best record in baseball?
Yeah, they're still beating that drum. They're still the best team in baseball.
Oh, well, then we still.
They're not playing like that, but they are.
They're still the best
statistically in the win loss column. They are.
Who should they fear the most when it comes to a team? Let's say
teams that hit back. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're going to go out to Arizona for 3.
Uh huh.
And Arizona's a decent team.
Okay.
You know.
What about all the prima donna problems going on with the players? You brought that up in our last show. Has that settled down?
No, they kind of put a Band-Aid on it for now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's hope that they continue on their winning ways.
Well, you
let's
know how at the end of the season, every year, this guy is gone. A very well-known guy is gone. Probably because he doesn't buy into the system and they trade him off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when that'll happen.
Okay. Time for our top 10. And this is from the Rocket Mortgage Company. You ever see their ads on? Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about, you know, getting a mortgage for a house. Top 10 best real estate markets in the U.S. All right. So here we go. Number 10. How about Orlando, Florida is number 10? That's not surprising. The median listing price for a house, by the way, in Orlando is $350,000. All right, number 9. Atlanta. Good old Atlanta. Cost of living just 1% lower than the national average right now. The median listing price of a home in Atlanta, $400,000. Number 8. Jacksonville, Florida.
Ugh.
You don't like Jacksonville? I've never been to the city itself.
I have. Dirty.
Dirty city. Well, Jacksonville is actually one of the fastest growing economic areas in the country. Its median listing price right now is low for a house, $289,900. Mm. That's pretty low, isn't it? Number 7. Phoenix, Arizona. You notice these are all Sunbelt areas so far. So Phoenix home values have increased an astonishing amount over the last year, close to 30%. Wow. So their median listing price for a house in Phoenix, $450,000. Number 6, San Antonio, Texas. Rich in Spanish and Old West heritage, the median selling price, very low, $285,000. You got a good buy there, it sounds like. All right, number 5. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. We know about North Carolina. Their median listing price, $385,000. Number 4, Nashville. Country music town. Nashville, Tennessee. Median listing price, wow, it's really high, $429,900. Number 3, back to North Carolina. Raleigh, North Carolina. In the Triangle area there, technology area, median listing price, $389,000. Number 2, good old Tampa. You figure Tampa would be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tampa's doing very, very good. The median listing price for Tampa, $388,800.
I'd say that's probably all new Tampa.
You think
the
so?
Northern area, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. What do you think is number 1, Ed? Any idea? Just name a state.
How about North Carolina? Go back to North Carolina. Somewhere in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a good guess. It's actually Austin, Texas.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Austin, Texas. Not as cosmopolitan as New York or L.A. It does have all of the big city amenities. And its median listing price, $620,000. So there you go. All right, thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. Meantime, remember, freedom works. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
And a happy Monday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Well, it looks like a small break in the rain will continue until our afternoon summertime pattern kicks in. A high this afternoon of 87 degrees, overnight low tonight 77, and tomorrow's high at 88. Sunset this evening is at 8:32. Now, here's the latest of CBS News.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's